The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday in Lent is from Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them. And they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For what God has done, for God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was this Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, Let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake I'm glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give to you. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, The teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who'd come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said to him, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, See how he loved him. But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? And then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, "What are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who were scattered abroad. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text is John 11, verses 1 to 53, the gospel lesson you just heard. The sermon title is Raising the Dead. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus once told one of his disciples who wanted to bury his father, "Let the dead bury their own dead," Matthew 8:22. I don't think an unkinder word ever came from the mouth of our Savior. After all, we need to be sensitive to people who are going through the loss of family. Don't we need to do that? Everybody knows that if you are able, you should attend the funeral of family members and lifelong friends. And to not to do so is, well, it's antisocial behavior. Furthermore, Jesus claimed to be a religious man. And in most people's minds, there's nothing more religious than a funeral. And then Jesus said, "Let the dead bury their own dead." Well, that's kind of hard on the funeral business. Well, don't you think? What's Jesus thinking? Jesus had a different attitude toward death than you and me. And this is one of the things that's apparent in our gospel lesson this morning, the story of the raising of Lazarus. It wasn't just the fact that he deeply understood sin, death, hell, heaven, and the fate of eternal souls. It was more the fact that Jesus saw death with a capital D, personified. A power, and he saw it as Satan's ultimate weapon. It was kind of the H-bomb in the arsenal of evil. Jesus didn't see it as natural, he saw it as evil. When Jesus saw death, it was an old enemy come back to give him and his friends a hard time. When Jesus saw death, wherever it was, he narrowed his eyes, clenched his jaws, and cursed Satan under his breath. He could have said, "Curse you, Satan. You're picking on children, my children. Why don't you pick on somebody your own size? You bully, you monster." Now, this death, the death of Lazarus, was something that hit home close to Jesus. Satan was getting his digs in. John 11:35 says that Jesus wept at the death of his friend. People that witnessed this said, "Look, see how he loved him." Now, Jesus didn't have many friends. His apostles, well, except maybe for John, were not close friends, as you or I might have a closer best friend. And he wasn't married. The apostles were his trainees, his students. They were seminary students in his pastoral academy, training to be future ministers of the word. Teachers keep their students at arm's length to maintain some authority and their ability to train them. They're not their buddies. And Jesus was no different that way. We know that Jesus' own family disagreed with his preaching ministry. His mother, Mary, wanted him to come home. Well, what mother doesn't? Especially when her son is famous and successful. And Mary was no different that way. She would, when she saw him, say to him, "Come on, Jesus, come, stay with me. I miss you. I have a small little house out back, and your friends can stay with the relatives when they're here. Well, you remember my goat cheese and matzo ball soup, don't you? Oh, boy. Come back to where you belong, Jesus." Yeah, but he rejected the offer every time she gave it. It sure was tempting, though, because he loved his mom. Now, Jesus did have some friends his own age that were not relatives and were not part of his seminary. And those we know are in this story, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, who lived in the town of Bethany, just east of Jerusalem and east of the Mount of Olives. Now, you might remember Mary and Martha. Martha scrubbed pots and pans, while Mary studied the Bible with Jesus and Lazarus. They were best of friends, like the best lifelong friends that you have. You're always welcome at their house when you are in town, and vice versa. And when you see each other and sit down to talk, you pick up where you left off the last time you were together. And then Lazarus died. Jesus was out of town. We know from the story that he could have made the trip in time for the funeral, but he said, "Let the dead bury the dead." Oh, great, Jesus. There's another ant. Sorry. When Jesus finally arrived in Bethany, he had the conversations about life and death with Mary and Martha that you heard in our gospel. And then he walked with the family and friends over to Lazarus' tomb, and he wept. Why did death have to take his only real friend? There were many people at Lazarus' tomb that day. They were coming into Jerusalem for the Passover. Many of them knew the stories about how Jesus brought back to life the daughter of Jairus and the son of the widow at Nain. You may notice that in the hymn we just sang, all three resurrections are in that hymn. Jesus told the young men to move the stone away from the face of the cave. And they said, "Master, that's not a good idea. He's been dead for 4 days. The smell is going to be bad. And the sights may be even worse. Let the dead rest, please." Jesus narrowed his eyes, clenched his jaws, and cursed Satan under his breath, and then said, "Move the stone, I said." Now, at this point, I'm sure that many people became horrified. You see, they probably did not think that Jesus could repair the ravages of death on a corpse. You know, when Jairus' daughter died, well, she had just died. The son of the widow at Nain, they were going to bury him. The bodies were still intact, but Lazarus was already in the tomb for 4 days, and that was a Mediterranean climate, and things were already happening to the body. And the people thought, they knew Jesus' power, he was going to animate a corpse. They thought Lazarus was going to come back from Hades with the flesh coming off of his bone and his eyes popping out. It would be a zombie apocalypse, and that would be a fate worse than death. You have to think about their imaginations right at that moment, what they thought was going to happen. Now, there are a lot of movies today that illustrate what the people thought was going to happen. One of my three daughters' favorite movies is Pirates of the Caribbean, starring Johnny Depp. If you haven't seen it before, it's a fun movie. Or rent it out, or get it from cable, whatever. Johnny Depp plays the character of Jack Sparrow, captain of a pirate ship called the Black Pearl. The pirates on the Black Pearl, who do what they usually do, stealing stuff, make the mistake of stealing Aztec gold that has a curse on it, which causes them to die slowly until they are more dead than alive. They look fine during the day, but at night, their true condition is visible in the moonlight. The plot of the movie is about the pirates' attempt to become normal again by returning the gold and ending the curse. But in the meantime, they are undead. That is, they are animated corpses or zombies. That's what the people thought they were going to see. When Lazarus came out, he looked kind of like an Egyptian mummy, but he didn't stink. When they unwrapped his grave clothes, his skin was as good as new. His eyes were not popping out or anything like that. It was as if he had never died or even became sick. The news of Lazarus' resurrection went immediately to the religious leaders, who recognized a threat when they saw it. They knew that if Jesus could raise a man dead for 4 days, he could raise an invincible army against them, kind of like the Old Testament lesson in Ezekiel, turning bones into a mob. Well, this is what happens in the movies, the Disney movies, Bedknobs and Broomsticks, and the Black Cauldron, and also at the end of Tolkien's Lord of the Rings. The religious leaders realized that they better strike first before he raised his army from the dead and caused Caesar to come and conquer everything. So they plotted immediately to kill him. This is the background to the week of the Passion we call Holy Week. What should Christians learn from this story of the raising of Lazarus? First, you should not fear death, as other people do. When a Christian believer dies, he passes not into the power of death, but into the hands of Jesus, who raised 3 people and himself, and will raise everyone on the last day. Second, you should realize that the main benefit of your religion is eternal life, which you receive initially through baptism and renew regularly through receiving our Lord's body and blood. Because of the forgiveness of sins and these sacraments, Death has no lasting power over you. Well, death is real. That is true. But it's only a passing phase. As Jesus said about Jairus' daughter, she is only sleeping. Third, you should realize you have something everybody wants. Anyone who realizes that they are subject to death, which is all sane people, want to be protected from it and rid of it. You should not keep this secret of eternal life to yourself. Share it with your friends, relatives, neighbors, and coworkers, especially when they are personally touched or threatened by death, and they know it. That is when they need to hear that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and how they can receive him as their Lord and Savior through baptism and the profession of faith. As we approach Holy Week and the season of Easter, may the story of Lazarus fill you with new expectation of the life in the world to come. In our Savior's name, amen.